drafty hallways, and hard floors like slabs of ice. Aside from the few visitors, the internet is my only source to the world outside our small town, and I search it constantly, looking for some indication that the others are out there, that they're searching, maybe fighting. Some sign that I'm not alone, because at this point, I can't say that Adelina still believes, that she's still with me. Her attitude changed somewhere over the mountains. Maybe it was with the slam of one of the doors that shut a starving woman and her child out in the cold for another night. Whatever it was, Adelina seems to have lost the urgency of staying on the move, and her faith in the resurgence of Lorien seems to have been replaced by the faith shared by the convent sisters. I remember a distinct shift in Adelina's eyes. Her sudden speeches on the need for guidance and structure if we were to survive. My faith in Lorien remains intact. In India, a year and a half ago, four different people witnessed a boy move objects with his mind. While the significance behind the event was small at first, the boy's abrupt disappearance shortly thereafter created much buzz in the region, and a hunt for him began. As far as I know, he hasn't been found. A few months ago, there was news of a girl in Argentina who, in the wake of an earthquake, lifted a 5-ton slab of concrete to save a man trapped beneath it. And when news of this heroic act spread, she disappeared. Like the boy in India, she's still missing. And then there's the father-son duo making all the news now in America, in Ohio, who the police are hunting after the two allegedly demolished an entire school by themselves, killing 5 people in the process. They left no trace behind other than mysterious heaps of ash. It looks like a battle took place here. I don't know how else to explain it, the head investigator was quoted as saying. But make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find Henri Smith and his son John. Perhaps John Smith, if that's his real name, is merely a boy with a grudge who was pushed too far. But I don't think that's the case. My heart races whenever his picture appears on my screen. I'm gripped with a profound desperation that I can't quite explain. I can feel it in my bones that he's one of us, and I know somehow that I must find him. Chapter 2. I perch my arms on the cold windowsill and watch the snowflakes fall from the dark sky and settle on the side of the mountain, which is dotted with pine, cork oak, and beech trees, with patches of craggy rock mixed throughout. The snow hasn't let up all day, and they say it will continue through the night. I can barely see beyond the edge of town to the north, the world lost in a white haze. During the day, when the sky is clear, it's possible to see the watery blue smudge of the Bay of Biscay, but not in this weather, and I can't help but wonder what might lurk in all that white beyond my line of sight. I look behind me. In the high-ceilinged, drafty room, there are 2 computers. To use one, we must add our name to a list and wait our turn. At night, there's a 10-minute time limit if somebody is waiting, 20 minutes if there isn't. The 2 girls using them now have been on for a half hour each, and my patience is thin. I haven't checked the news since this morning, when I snuck in before breakfast. At that time, nothing new about John Smith had been reported, but I'm almost shaking in anticipation over what might have sprung up since then. Some new discovery has been uncovered each day since the story first broke. Santa Teresa is a convent that doubles as an orphanage for girls. I am now the oldest out of 37, a distinction I've held for 6 months after the last girl who turned 18 left. At 18, we must all make the choice to strike out on our own or to forge a life within the church. The birthday Adelina and I created for me when we arrived is less than 5 months away. And that's when I'll turn 18, too. Of all who've reached 18, not a single girl has stayed. I can't blame